Before we welcome Brother Jeremy as he approaches the pulpit, I would like every one of us to reflect on what God has done to him all along this week, maybe last month. What God did to you that can bring you before his throne and say, God, you deserve my worship. You deserve my praise. You deserve my consecration to you. Because at times we don't serve God diligently because maybe we forget what he has done into our life. May we bow our head as we reflect on that. Begin to say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done into my life. You have kept us safe. Even the time we walked through the dry valley, you provided for water. When we walked through the desert, you made sure that we got green pastures. When we didn't have someone to lean on, you provided. Begin to say thank you, Lord, with your own words, and pray that God will bless you through the sermon. Because Jeremy stands here, he is a human being, but only God can use him to bless you. Only God can use him to touch you. So ask God to bless you through his servant, that the word that you are going to receive this morning will be a seed that God will plant in your heart, but the seed that will not die, but a seed that is going to bear fruit and much fruit for the glory of God. Begin to pray for yourself and pray for Brother Jeremy as soon he's going to deliver the word of God. Let us pray. And Jeremy shall pray before he begins the sermon.
Our dear and heavenly Father, we come before you this morning because we want to hear from you. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather in this temple on this day. And we pray that, Lord, you may again speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, speak to our souls, so that we may grasp the things that you want to teach us, and that this word may be the foundation upon which we build our lives. Lord, I pray for myself. I pray that, Lord, you may give me clarity of mind, concision of speech, and conviction of heart, so that I may speak from you. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Good morning. Are you okay, guys? All right. Yes, that pretty sums up everything that I have to say this morning. Let's open our Bibles in Matthew chapter 7 from verse 24 to 29. Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 29. I'm reading from the NIV version. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. This is the word of God. So good morning again. I mean, it's a privilege and a joy to share God's word with you this morning. And last week, Dr. Abel took us through the book of Luke, chapter 19, sharing from the story of Zacchaeus three main benefits that we gain from believing in Jesus. When we are saved, what are some of the benefits that we gain? And he said that the first one is peace with God. The second one is a place in the home of God, because we are adopted as sons and daughters of the Most High. And then the third one, he said, that Jesus gives us purpose. When we believe in Jesus, we have a purpose for our lives. Jesus turns our lives upside down, and It's because you can't account to Jesus and remain the same. That's how he said to me, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And the overall theme of the series of teaching that you are giving for this season is that we want to see what are some of the benefits that we gain from believing in Jesus. And it's actually in order for us to be able to answer to the question, if you go out there and someone asks you, since you are a Christian, what are the things that you are gaining from choosing to live this way? So we need to be able to answer those questions. And I believe Dr. Abel did a great job in giving us those three things: peace, place, purpose. And this morning, we are going to draw some important lessons from the concluding passage of the Sermon on the Mount. That's what we read, Jesus concluding the Sermon on the Mount. And one of the things that I see here is that from this passage, one of the most famous teachings of Jesus, Jesus, who is the best teacher that ever lived on the surface of the earth, after talking on various topics that span from chapter 5 to chapter 7 of this book, he's now concluding his sermon. And he's concluding this sermon with a warning. He's concluding the sermon with the warning. And the conclusion starts with, therefore. In other words, in light of everything that I have said, and then he proceeds into giving the warning that we just read and that we just saw through the short video. Jesus is actually emphasizing on the fact that information alone does not bring transformation. Knowing a lot about God will not transform us. Knowing a lot of teaching, following many teachings, knowing many things about God will not transform us. Knowing something is not equal to doing something. That's the point that Jesus is trying to make here. And I hear a lot of saying these days where people say that knowledge is power. You hear it, right? Knowledge is power. But after studying this passage, I beg to differ. Because knowledge alone is not power. Try to imagine a medical doctor who has all the specialties, he knows many things. Yes, he has that knowledge, but as long as he has not applied that knowledge to heal people, his knowledge will have no impact. So knowledge alone is not power. Applied knowledge is power. Applied knowledge is power. And that's the point that Jesus is trying to make through this passage. And to do that, he uses an illustration. He uses a story, a parable, an allegory, in order to connect with the people of his day. And the story that he uses is the story of two men. We saw those two men. Two men who had three things in common. Three things in common. And these three things, the first thing that these two people had in common is that they both heard the teaching of Jesus. They both heard the teaching of Jesus. You saw from the video that when these two guys came in front of that tree, they were actually instruction. They were building on the rock and building on sand. And there were consequences. It was very clear what you should do. But one chose to build on sand and the other chose to build on the rock. They both heard the teaching of Jesus. And from this one, we get the first point of our message this morning, is the accessibility of the teaching of Jesus. Jesus's teachings are accessible. Jesus's word, the Bible, is more accessible today than it was in the past. We are actually the generation that has more access to the word of God than any other generation in the history of the world. The Bible is being translated in many languages. We actually have access to the Bible and to a myriad of Christian content online and wherever places that you find those content from. Unfortunately, most Christians have become what I call fast food Christians or junk food Christians. Because what we do these days, because of this myriad of information, we are content with maybe watching an Instagram reel, a TikTok video, and these are the only thing that we use as a diet for our spiritual growth. Despite the accessibility of Jesus' word, we are content with junk food. We are content with junk food. And some people are even too lazy to watch those short videos They are just content with memes that we see on other people's status. So the fact that Jesus' teaching are more available than in other time, than in other time in history, is proof enough that we have a choice. Today, you can say that I am lost because I'm not hearing the word of Jesus, that I'm failing in life, that I'm failing to live an abundant life because I don't have access to the word of God. Because Jesus' teaching are accessible today. They are accessible. And we have a choice to choose what we can listen to. We have a choice to choose what kind of content can inform our mind. Just like you use a radio tuner to go on the frequency of your choice, we also have the choice to tune and to tune our mind, our heart, in order to pay attention to what the Lord has to say. Because from what story, we see that those two men both had access to the teaching of Jesus. Even in the passage we read in the beginning, at the end of Matthew chapter 4, that great crowd followed Jesus from many places. They followed him, and when he saw the crowd, he went up on the mount. Just as the word of Jesus were accessible to those people, they are accessible to us today. It can be online, it can be here at church, but what are we doing about that accessibility? That's the question we must ask ourselves today. So we have no excuses. We have no excuses. And the downside of that accessibility of the teaching of Jesus is that alongside the accessibility of the teaching of Jesus, there is also other teachings that may sound like the truth, but they are leading people astray. And that's what Jesus was trying to warn people about in this same passage when he was saying, "Watch out for the false prophet. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Watch out." So alongside the accessibility of the teaching of Jesus, there are also other teachings. And one of the things we need to know is that you can't discern the truth from error if you are superficial in the knowledge of the truth. If you don't know the truth of Jesus, it's very hard to discern truth from error when we are content with surface level knowledge of the word of Jesus. So this is something that we need to know from this passage, that both men had access to the teaching of Jesus. Both men had the warning. They knew what it is that they needed to do, how they were supposed to build their houses. And that leads us to the second thing that we need to know this morning, is that this man, the second thing that they had in common is that they both built a house. You saw it from the video. The first thing is that they all had accessibility to the word of God, to the teaching of Jesus. The second thing is that they both built a house. And the point number two is that we all have an ambition to build something with our lives. So I talked about accessibility, and now I'm talking about ambition. All men have an ambition to build something with their lives. The majority of people don't simply want to exist. They want to use this single shot that we have at life to build something, to achieve something. But the question is not whether or not we want to do something with your life. The question is, how are you building your life? On what foundation are you building your life? On what foundation are you basing your ambition, your aspirations in life? That's the great question that we need to answer this morning as we look at the story of these two men. So we all have the ambition to build something with our lives. And despite the accessibility of Jesus' teaching that leads to an abundant life, many have chosen a different path. You saw the second man when he looked at the instruction on the tree, he was like, whatever. And he went and did his own thing. And unfortunately, that's the story of so many people. They have listened to the spirit of the ages, where success in life is defined as having more material possessions, more influence, more titles, more education, building a career, a marriage, a ministry, or a church. All these are noble pursuits. They are noble pursuits. But when they are not built on Jesus as their foundation, it's all shallow and will end up leaving us empty and unfulfilled. That I can assure you. I can assure you of that. So I'm coming back to the biggest question here. What are we doing our life on? The biggest question is not whether or not we are doing something with our lives, but how are we doing it? On which foundation are we building our life? It's not only about building on the foundation of Jesus, but also aligning our priorities with the priority of God, with the purpose of God for the world. To quote Jesus himself in the same sermon, he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all these other things that we aspire to will be given, will be added unto us." Seek first, foundation. And how do we build on the foundation of Christ? It's very simple in the passage that we just heard. It says that everyone who hears this word of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. How do we build on the foundation of Christ? Is by practicing what we hear. By moving from professing that Jesus is Lord with our mouth to practicing what he said with our hearts and our hands. We move from profession to practice. Moving from profession to practice. James chapter 1 verse 22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves." Do what it says. Do not merely listen to the word. Do what it says. Do what it says. And that's what living faith looks like. Because faith can also be defined as doing what God says, even when it doesn't make sense. One writer said, "Faith without practice is a contradiction in terms, and love without obedience is an impossibility." Faith without practice is a contradiction in terms, and love without obedience is an impossibility. And we can see it from the example of all the heroes of the faith that we see in the story of the Bible. They all acted on the instruction that they received from God. God came to Abraham, told him, "Leave and go to the place that I will show you." And he left. God came to Noah and asked him to build an ark. And he did. I actually love how the Message version of the Bible translates the faith of Noah. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7, it says, "By faith, Noah built a ship in the middle of a dry land. He was warned about something that he couldn't see and acted on what he was told." Faith without practice is a contradiction in terms. The result, his family was saved. His act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the righteous and the rightness of the believing world. As a result, Noah became intimate with God. That's how the Message version of the Bible translates Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. As a result, he became intimate with God. And sometimes we wonder, why am I not feeling so close to God? Why am I not seeing the action of God? Maybe the question you must ask is, am I obeying? Am I doing what I know about this God? What I know about the instruction and what he says that I should do in order to show for real that I love him and I obey and I know him. And so, as I say, all heroes of the faith acted on what they heard. They acted on what they heard. And the same quote says that love without obedience is an impossibility. And I can prove that. If you read John chapter 15, verse 10, it says, "If you obey my command, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love." So love without obedience is an impossibility, because to love God is to obey what he says. That's how you show that you love God. You can't say that you love God and go and act your own way. When you say that you love God, it means that you are obeying what he says. Because love without obedience is an impossibility. It is an impossibility. So we need to know that word and deeds are two sides of the same coin. Hearing and doing what Jesus teaches are two sides of the same coin. We can't just say that we trust Jesus as our Lord if we don't do what he says, if we don't live how he lived. The battle of faith started in the garden and it's still raging today. That was the question of Eve. That's the question for us today. Are we going to live according to God's instruction,
or are we going to follow other ways? It's the battle of faith today. It's the battle of faith. And this teaching that Jesus is giving are not just principles that we need to fill our head with. What Jesus is presenting is actually a new way of living. It's not just a bunch of knowledge that we can brag about. It's a new way. It's a style of life. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Number three, third thing that these two men had in common is that they both experienced a violent storm. They both experienced a violent storm. We all saw it. The first thing I said is that they both heard the word of Jesus. The second thing is that they both built a house. The third thing is that they both experienced a violent storm. And what the lesson that I pulled from this is that there is an aftermath or an after effect for not building, for building on any other foundation than Christ. There is an aftermath. There is an after effect. There are consequences when we don't follow, when we don't apply the word of Jesus in our life. There is an aftermath. So the first thing I said is that we have, first of all, the accessibility to the word of Jesus. We have the second thing, the ambition. And there is also an aftermath for not following the teaching of Jesus. There is an after effect if we don't follow the teaching of Jesus. And that's what we see when the storm comes in the lives of these two men. And Jesus said in this word, what he said is that, therefore, he said, the rain came down, the stream rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. The rain. He didn't say if the rain. He just said the rain came down, which means that storms in life are guaranteed. Storms in life are guaranteed. Trials, challenges will happen. Those are the things that for sure will happen. But what will really show the difference between a good foundation and a bad foundation in what happened is the aftermath of the storm that we can go through in life. If we build on a good foundation, we will truly see that we will continue to stand. It takes a test to truly see what foundation each man is building his house or his life on. It takes storms. Actually, someone says, not even someone, trials. Trials reveal true character. And a faith that has not been tested is not a faith worth trusting. Trials reveal true character, and a faith that has not been tested is not a faith worth trusting. So there is no guarantee against the sudden in life. They will happen. Trials will happen, but they will reveal what foundation we are building our lives on. They will shake us. They will actually confuse us. But if we are building on a good foundation that is Christ, we will remain standing. We will stand. We will standing. We will stand. And these trials can be a loss of the loved of a loved one, an unanswered prayer, unemployment, losing a job, depression. It may be an accident. It may be a chronic disease. It can be pain, even temptation from the devil and the flesh. There is no guarantee against these things. Jesus is not saying, if the rain comes, he's saying the rain came because they will come. They will come. They will come. And they will test what foundation we are building our lives on. They will test what foundation we are building our lives on. Trials reveal true character. And a faith that has not been tested is not a faith worth trusting. It's not a faith worth trusting. So, to conclude, it's like Jesus actually is echoing the word of Jeremiah in the book of Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. It says, but blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its root by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. And never fails to bear fruit. And it's only when we face trial of different kind that we are reminded that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes. And I'm sorry to say that this verse, all things work together, does not apply to you if you don't believe in Jesus. If you are not building your life on the foundation that is Christ's. They don't apply. They don't apply. And we are reminded as well of what the Apostle Paul said, that for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. This trouble is temporary. But what is unseen, what we live by faith, is eternal. It is eternal. So when you build your life on Christ, the only thing close to hell that you will ever know is the trials or here on earth. The only thing close to hell that you will ever know are the trials here on earth when you build your foundation on Christ. So wisdom starts by knowing that anything and anyone outside of God can fail you. So let's build on the foundation that is Christ. So how do we apply this to the church? We need to know that when Jesus was speaking to these people, he wasn't just addressing individuals. Because when I was studying this text, when Jesus was saying, you are the light of the world, he was actually using a Greek word that is a plural of you. He was saying humeis, which is you, plural form. And the King James Version of the Bible makes this distinction very clear. Because it says ye, which is you, plural, and thou is you, singular. So ye are the light of the world. So this word, actually building this foundation, is not only for us as individuals. It also applies to us as a community of faith. Because we are supposed to build everything on the foundation that is Christ, on the word of Christ. Our systems can fail. Our strategy can fail. But as long as we have Jesus as our foundation, collectively and individually, we will stand the storms of life. And that's the difference that faith in the word of Jesus makes in the lives of his people, in the lives of his people. So I want to welcome all of us to remember this. I want to welcome all of us to remember this, that if the teaching of Jesus are not preeminent in our profession and our practices, we will not stand. So may God help us to build on the pure foundation that is Jesus, the rock of our salvation. This is a lifelong pursuit, this as individual and collectively as a community. Remember the word that I said, humeis, ye. It means all of us. All of us are called to build on this foundation. May God bless his word.
Amen, amen. Let us praise the Lord as we encourage our brother Jeremy with some rounds of applause, please. Can we appreciate